Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in the study of Nahum chapter 1, we were questioning, why do so many people need so many versions of the Bible? Let's continue with that thought today.
Plant my feet on his firm foundation for the Bible.
Satan is a cunning enemy that we have who will seek to deceive, because the Bible lets us know that he's a deceiver and that he's a liar. So Satan uses these things to bring people to falseness, making them think that they are honoring Christ in order to be a slap in the face of God as far as he's concerned, and to keep them from the holy God that they need. Now, the Holy Spirit is calling them to repentance. But they instead reject his conviction with their corrupted logic. By the way, 2 Timothy 3 shows the hedonistic contemporary philosophy of the last days local church. Now, you've heard me preach perhaps on various things. For example, I've used Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, speaking of the Russian coalition that comes during the tribulation. And I've told you how many of those things are coming together. We've talked about the coalition of nations under the Antichrist. We've talked about various signs of the last days, Israel back in the land. And so, and a lot of people get excited and say, oh yeah, we see it. It's happening right before us. But what they don't see is right there, it's closest to them, and there's more said about it. Is that one of the great signs of the last days before the rapture is the contemporary philosophy, the worldly philosophy, the marketing philosophy that goes into the local church. And what is one of the first things they want to do? They want to get rid of our Bible. Why does 40 Days of Purpose need 16 different translations of the Bible to try to prove its point? Why do they have to use Bibles and so forth that has text from those corrupted texts, those critical texts that are very corrupted, when the majority of texts are the Textus Receptus for the New Testament, and we see the Masoretic texts as well. So why do they have to find something else? They say, well, you know, the King James is hard to understand. Yes, it is. It was written on a fifth grade education, so if your education doesn't reach up to the fifth grade level, then maybe it is hard to understand. Now, if you'll read through some of those Bibles, which I don't recommend doing, you'll find out that they're not as clear as the King James is. So, people who say that the reason for not using the King James is because it's not easily understood are people who obviously are very ignorant and lack the capacity educationally to understand the Bible. But you know what? Well, you got to have the Holy Ghost. No matter if all the words were just one and two syllable words, you still have to have the Holy Ghost teach it to you as you read it, because he's the author of it and he can give you what he meant by each and every word of it. So the burden here is the burden of Nineveh, and the burden is their sin. And that's always true, whether it's a country or an individual. The burden is not the Lord's. The burden is theirs. They need to get that burden, and the Lord wants to lift that burden off of them, but they've got to get that thing right with God. Sin is the very weight that so easily besets us. It will crush us if that load of sin is not forsaken in its entirety. It's kind of like a deadly, communicable plague or disease. And there's a man who has it. He wakes up one morning, he's feeling better than he did the day before, but he still has it. But he goes outside, he starts seeing people, and what are you doing outside? Well, I feel better than I don't feel quite as bad as I did yesterday, so I thought it was all right. You see, that's the problem. They thought it was all right. But we know it's not all right. A lot of people say, well, I don't see anything wrong with what the Bible says is wrong, it's wrong. If the Bible teaches us something, then it is always right, and man is always wrong. Man has been spending so much time trying to prove that God didn't create the heavens and the earth. Yet throughout the Bible, not just Genesis 1 and 2, throughout the Bible, creation by God is referred to over and over and over and over again. Now, just because somebody doesn't feel that way doesn't make it right. You see, feelings do not determine truth. Again, feelings do not determine truth. The nation that had repented of its sin under the preaching of Jonah is now 150 years later repenting of their repentance. Their pleasure for a season will lead to the destruction of their existence. Just as people reject Christ in this life and end up in hell, or Christians who turn back to the world and are saved so as by fire, are totally ashamed at his appearing. Now, I want you to know something. There is no nation nor individual who is too big to fail. A few years ago, we were saying, well, we've got to bail out this company because it's too big to fail. We've got to do this because they're too big to fail. They're too big to fail, we wouldn't have to bail them out, for one. You think that America is too big to not lose at all, you better change your mind on that. You've got socialists here, you've got various people, and you say, why are you attacking socialists? No, I'm not attacking socialists, I'm attacking socialism, because it goes against the Word of God. And I'm not talking for or against Republicans or Democrats or socialists right now. I'm talking for the truth. And the truth is always right. Now, God is long-suffering. But when he moves in judgment, once he begins that move, it'll be a short and swift work, as the book of Romans teaches us. We see in Romans chapter 9, verse 28, for he shall finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And there he's addressing the last days, by the way, there in 2 Peter chapter 2. And he says, who shall privily bring in their damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. Have you ever heard these preachers say, I'm so sorry, at one time I was very fundamental and I had these standards and now I know that I was wrong. It's okay to drink. It's okay to social drink. It's okay to do this. And they'll go on to say that, but not saying it now. They'll say it in the future about social marijuana and other things of that nature. And now they're justifying homosexual marriages in a lot of these churches and denominations. And it's just going to grow that way because that's the way it's going. They apologize. Well, the apology is not to the people. It should be to God for forsaking him and asking God for his help to get back right. But now what we see here, again, they bring on themselves, in 2 Peter, swift destruction. God's work is a swift and short in judgment. That's why when we read Proverbs 29:1, you better think seriously on it. he that had been often reproved. Now Nineveh had been warned. Israel was warned. If you read the Old Testament over and over, people get warned, and they're often reproved. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 29:1 says, my friend, you better think about that. You hear the preaching, you hear the witness, and you make fun of it, and you just keep hardening your neck, and it doesn't bother you as much as it used to. You're pretty close to the judgment hand of God coming down upon you. Now, I say that not as a threat. I say that as a call to repent and get right with God. Now, so many walked in light at one time. They got right with God. Then all of a sudden, because of the pressures of this world and the pressures of sin, keeping their eyes on the world and that instead of on God, keeping their eyes on their families, wanting their families to love them, and they want to be popular with people, they have turned to walk in darkness, only to end up in the slave market of sin. Whether those men are likable men or not, that are occupying pulpits, working on the job with you, or whatever, when God's moves, it will be swift. And so you better not follow those kind of people, because those people are not going to deliver you. None of those will deliver you at all. Now, after seeing the burden here, which is addressing the eternal result of sin, the sin of Nineveh, we next see here in verse 1, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. So we see the book. The book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. The vision comes from God, but it's for Nahum. Now I find it interesting that Elkoshite means of Elkosh. Elkosh is another name for Capernaum, which means village of Nahum. Many believe that they named it in that day after Nahum, claiming that he was their most famous citizen from the biblical past. However, there are at least three other places that have that name in the ancient world. So Capernaum may or may not be the place of Nahum. That's not what he's trying to make important here. Although you might argue and just say, well, he wouldn't say there that the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite if they didn't want to say that he's of Capernaum. Okay. Just letting us know who this man is, and that is simply it. But a lot of times we try to get something else in there as if that's going to be depth and make us more spiritual than we are.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will pray.